Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and yesterday in the green space, I moderated a really interesting conversation on what to do about global warming while Congress is all obstructionist. It was a 90-minute event sponsored by Marfa Dialogues, which you can hear or see in full on our website. But here's one stretch I thought you might find interesting. Margo Anderson from the Bipartisan Policy Center think tank asks the environmentalist Amory Lovins if he thinks nuclear power has any role. Then I ask Lovins and Governor Cuomo's energy czar, Richard Kaufman, if they believe there is such a thing as clean coal or safe fracking. This begins with Margo Anderson's question to Amory Lovins.
We've talked a lot about renewable energy, and I'd be curious to ask Amory or others, are there any number of countries, some more successful than others, who have gotten emissions down through the use of nuclear power? And even though there are risks associated with nuclear, you gave us a few of them earlier, where are you on where nuclear could fit into all of this, whether current nuclear power or some of the new technologies that are evolving in nuclear?
On current, I had a piece out in April in Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists showing from industry data that many, probably most, of the operating reactors cannot compete with wholesale power rates anymore and are starting to shut down. 14 units have been terminated, either operating or planned, already this year for that reason, that they're uneconomic to run, not counting their capital cost at all. But for new units, the capital cost is utterly prohibitive. There is no business case. We've had now 8 years of 100-plus percent construction subsidies on offer in this country, with the result of zero privately financed units. The only couple that have started construction managed to transfer all the cost and all the risk to the taxpayers and the customers with only upside for the investors. But you can't do that for long or widely in a market economy. And all 60-odd nuclear units listed under construction worldwide were bought by central planners. So there is simply no business case for it anywhere in the world. And that's a good thing for climate, because it turns out nuclear is so slow and costly to build that you save a lot less carbon per year and per dollar than if you devoted the same investment to efficiency, renewables, and cogeneration instead. So actually, if you did do nuclear build instead of the other stuff, because you can't spend the same dollar on two different things at the same time, you would end up reducing and retarding climate protection. You know, if climate's a problem, we ought to invest judiciously to save the most carbon per dollar and per year.
Is that the answer you were hoping for?
I wasn't really hoping for anything. I was just kind of getting his take on it. There's certainly France has been very successful at nuclear power, getting, what, 80% of their electric power from nuclear?
Oh, 75. But bear in mind, at the risk, well, with severe cost to their system, they are a net importer, actually consistently from Germany, in the winter to keep the system from crashing, because to soak up their nuclear surplus, they built a huge amount of electric heat in badly insulated houses. It's basically bankrupted the national utility and the nuclear builder. There are a lot of respects in which it is not very successful. And from a carbon perspective, because it was dealing only with electricity, not in transport and the other sectors, they actually are not doing very well on their carbon goals or their oil dependence goals compared to some other countries that have not done nuclear but have invested across the board more carefully.
Well, I'll piggyback on that and ask you and Richard, if I might. You said earlier, clean coal, in quotes. Do you think there is such a thing as clean coal, and do you? And do you think there is such a thing as safe fracking, and do you?
You want to do the coal?
Go ahead.
I'm happy to take you off the hook on the fracking.
Yeah. I'm happy to do the coal.
You have an opinion about if there's clean coal?
There's clean coal, but it's too expensive, and we'll probably never get there. That's the problem with clean coal, right? And there may not be a market for cleaning up coal or natural gas. You can sequester, you can store the carbon that comes out of the natural gas as well. But there has to be a market for that carbon. You're either storing it, which is extremely expensive, and or you're using it in enhanced oil recovery. There's not a huge market necessarily to do that. In some regions, there would be. So I think the problem with, aside from what's happening in Kemper, which is a clean coal plant that may or may not ever get operational, clean coal can be very expensive. Now, there was another part of your question.
Well, there isn't much of a market for dirty coal either. Because it just lost 19% of its market share the last 2 years.
Because I think to be non-ideological about fracking, that people are completely confused out there in America and New York State about it because there is such vitriol against it. At the same time, we hear the reports that, oh, my God, look, our carbon emissions in the United States are going down, not up, because we're using so much natural gas rather than oil.
Well, last year, efficiency was nearly twice as important as gas in cutting our carbon emissions. But my take on fracking is a little different than the environmental one. Namely, first of all, frack gas is not cheap because you have to count not only the commodity price of the gas, the spot price, but also the value of its price volatility. And the more successful fracking is, the more volatile the price gets. The volatility adds $2 or $3 or $4 to the price of the gas. That means 10 years out, just as the futures market tells us, you're looking at $6 or $8 gas, not $3 or $4 gas. And if you're comparing with efficiency renewables, which have no fuel, therefore no price volatility, you have to make that comparison. This means efficiency and many renewables, even solar power in many states, are now beating gas power just on price. Okay, secondly, there are about 8 kinds of major risks and uncertainties around fracking. It'll take a decade for them to play out. In order to get lots of cheap gas long run, all 8 would have to come out right, and that's possible, but I don't think the odds are great because 8's a big number. And I think what that tells us is there is an important story here about abundant and stably priced energy for the long haul, but the story is less about gas than it is about its alternatives that are outpacing and often outcompeting it right now, namely efficiency and renewables.
Richard?
Well, that's why I said before, the volatility of natural gas is why we have to get the price signals right, because right now in wholesale markets, we're not adequately capturing, on the one hand, the value of the potential cost of volatility of future natural gas prices or the cost certainty or predictability of renewables. And that's a market adjustment that is something that we need to work on. By the way, not all this is a state issue. Some of this is a federal issue as well. It takes us into the realm of wholesale markets, takes us into the realm of FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
An excerpt from the event I moderated in the Green Space yesterday, part of the MARFA Dialogue series on climate change taking place around the city right now. And that's it for the Brian Lehrer Show today. Stay tuned for Food Friday on the Leonard Lopate Show after the news, including Jared Koch on eating sustainably at home and out. And with Halloween coming next week, Please Explain is all about candy. And have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday. I'm Brian Lehrer.